back.
Welcome back to What's Healing America, the ultimate in reality radio, the show with info that can save your life. On this show, you will not only learn what is ailing America and the world, but you will also learn how to recognize the patterns used by the predators controlling our world and give you the courage to say no more. The ability to understand and see the big picture is a critical skill necessary to formulate the solutions we need to escape the living hell we find ourselves in. Regarding health care, this became self-evident to me in 1999 when I created the Big Picture of All Diseases, which is the first diagram that can be found on both of my websites, ReversingVaccineInduced, induced diseases.com and drcarly.com. If you haven't yet done so, I strongly suggest that you print out those diagrams and listen to the YouTube videos posted of me explaining them. Because, in fact, I have figured out the cause of all disease, and I've developed a protocol using natural therapies to reverse all these vaccine-induced diseases, which, in fact, is basically all of internal medicine, not just in people, but in pets as well. And, of course, I have learned that the medical mafia has no intention of stopping the creation of disease with vaccines, and that is why people that tell the truth oftentimes have a problem, and I'm a living example of that. And always remember that only acting on the truth will set you free. People always say that, you know, the truth will set you free, but you have to act on it. And I strongly encourage you to share the truth with as many people as you can. Many people can't face reality. We're going to be talking about vaccines today, and of course, especially people who have, you know, medical doctors or nurses in their family, or worse yet, work as drug reps for Big Pharma. People like that can't face what they have done. So it's probably not going to be possible to wake them up. But anybody that has common sense should be able to face the reality of what the vaccines are actually doing. Once they see the massive amount of information that's out there, you can find a lot of it on my website. But one of my guests today has acquired a massive amount herself, and I'll be bringing her on in a minute. If you think my work is important, please tell others about the show. You can support this work by donating on the PayPal buttons on either of my sites. You can help friends or family who are too ill to face reality by getting a consult for them and helping them escape from the death and disease being caused by the medical mafia. You can contact me by emailing me at drcarly@gmail.com. That's drcarly@gmail.com. Or calling me at 828-294-0662 between 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time any day of the week. The contact info is also on my website, of course. Thanks to Ron at Dependable Voice, I also have a toll-free number, 888-321-6751, on which you can contact me from anywhere in the U.S., Canada, or the Caribbean. If you get a strange message that the number's been disconnected or whatever, have the operator dial it for you. My Skype username is drcarly1, but I use Skype primarily for international clients and radio shows, so if you're able to reach me by the toll-free, please do so. You can also email me, but I get so many emails, it's very possible I could miss your email. Always remember, I do not practice medicine nor give medical advice. Rather, I teach you what I would do if I was you to reverse disease with natural therapy in people and in pets. If you have questions or comments during the show, you can call in 716-213-6816 or toll free, thanks to Ron again, at 888-320-6151. Very important, callers need to mute their phones while waiting to be brought on so as not to cause interference with whoever is speaking. And I'm very thankful to Sheldon Day, who has archived many of my shows over the past few years on his website, because I don't have the bandwidth. And that website is thelightofdayradioshow.com, thelightofdayradioshow.com. Click on Dr. Carly Archives, and you can listen to many of my shows over the past many years. And all the shows are labeled so you know what the topic is, and you can choose where you want to go down which rabbit hole, because there's so many rabbit holes, people, and we have to face them all if we're going to, you know, extricate ourselves from the living hell we find ourselves in. I also suggest that you go to the ReversingVaccineInducedDiseases.com site, click on the link section, and learn about the silver, colloidal silver generator that I use personally for myself and all my pets. And all my clients, I tell about this generator. As a matter of fact, Silver Lungs now has a new product called Silver Gel. And by happenstance, 2 days after I got my introductory product to evaluate, I sliced off half my knuckle with a mandolin while cutting vegetables. Kind of embarrassing for me to admit since I'm a surgeon. But within 10 days, by putting that silver gel on this slice, which there was no skin, so it's not like there was something to, you know, join back together. And after 10 days of putting the silver gel on continuously and covering it with a Band-Aid, it's all healed. It's truly an amazing thing. It's a very important thing that you can do. And, of course, as they're unleashing more and more biowarfare agents on us in vaccines and chemtrails in so many ways, you really need to protect yourself because not that silver is going to protect you from the biowarfare agents injected into you. You have to, you know, use homeopathy for that purpose. However, all the vaccinees around you that are getting the flu vaccine and such that are coughing and sneezing on you, it will help to protect you from those germs that are being spewed throughout the air and aerosols, etc. Okay, on today's show, the answer to the question, what's ailing America, and I have to add, and the world, is parents are being charged with death of children killed by vaccines. And I'm very excited to have as my special guest on the show today, Christina England. She's one of the best investigative reporters that I know of. She writes for a couple of different online sources, backtruth.com. I don't remember the name of the other one. I'll have her bring that up. But welcome to the show, Christina. If you could first tell the listeners the other source I don't have in front of me that you do write for. Oh, I think is it American Chronicle?
Yeah. Yes, there are three, four actually, that I write for. I write for American Chronicle, The Weekly Blitz, which is a Bangladesh newspaper in hard copy and online, and Namaste UK Publishing, which is a hard copy magazine that goes out bi-monthly.
And let me just also mention a most amazing book, which is one of, I would say, probably 75 books in my vaccine library that Christina co-authored with Dr. Harold Buttram, who's about as close to me as far as telling the truth, especially about vaccine-induced encephalitis and how they're hiding the deaths of children by vaccines. This is a very important book that I suggest you all get for any mom who's even thinking about vaccinating her child. The name of the book is Shaken Baby Syndrome or Vaccine-Induced Encephalitis, Are Parents Being Falsely Accused? As I said, it was written by Harold Buttram, MD, as well as Christina England, research journalist. And this ties in perfectly with our show topic for today, because the information that Christina has come up with in her research is just so amazing. It boggles my mind. And especially, I have to mention an article that she wrote for VacTruth some time ago where she actually found documents over 30 years old that prove that they've known for all this time that vaccines actually cause vaccine-induced encephalitis leading to subacute sclerosing panencephalitis, which is autism. They changed the name to hide that fact. I've been saying this for 15 years. She found documents over 30 years ago out of the UK with secret meetings, and the documents actually say not for public release. I mean, you got to love it when they do that. It's like they're basically admitting, well, we're going to go behind closed doors and we're going to talk about what's really going on, but don't tell anybody else, because if the public finds out what we're up to, we're going to have a problem. And I don't have that article in front of me, Christina. They can access that on VacTruth.com. I hear the music, so we're going to a break. But when we get back, if you can tell the people the exact name of that article, because that's another bomb that they need to check out, which is so important. And every autism group on the planet should be talking about it. Funny how they aren't. Okay, folks, we'll be right back after this message. Stay tuned. We are back with What's Ailing America and the World, where today our answer is parents are being charged with deaths of children killed by vaccines, with my very special guest, researcher from the UK, Christina England. We also have another guest I'm trying to get on the line. He's in Australia. It's 6 a.m. on Sunday for him, so maybe he just hasn't heard that alarm bell yet, but we'll keep going with Christina, and hopefully he'll be joining us when he can. Okay, before the break, Christina, I was talking about this outrageous article. As you can remember, this was probably the most excited I have been in I don't know how many years when you Skyped me and told me that you had found this information, because, in fact, you have validated what I've been saying all these years. It's not the mercury, people. All these people that are telling you it's the mercury are disinformers. It's the measles virus causing the subacute sclerosing pain encephalitis. Of course, the measles vaccine has never had mercury in it, which is another interesting twist. Did you find the exact title of that article that everyone that knows anyone with autism should be accessing on vactruth.com?
Yes, I found the article, Dr. Carly. It's called At Last, Government Documents Locked Up 30 Years Proving This Vaccine Unsafe, Finally Revealed. And I revealed some of the documents that I found in the Kew archive in Kew, Richmond, Surrey, England. And I put some of them up on VacTruth, and I believe I gave you a folder of the rest of them, Dr. Carly.
Oh, yes, and they are some of my most priceless possessions. And eventually, when I get a chance to finish my book, I would definitely like to refer to them as well, giving you total credit for finding them, which, by the way, was an absolute miracle. How did you ever find them? If I remember correctly, you weren't even looking for them. You kind of tripped upon them.
Yes, it was funny. Dr. Vera Schreibner had asked me to get some other information for her on some vaccine programs, and I was on my way to the Kew archives to do that for her, and on the way, the Freedom of Information request that I'd put in came up, and it gave us the information we needed. So I was going up to the Kew archives with a friend. And I said, well, what should we look up then? And he looked at me and said, well, we could always look up SSPE. And I said, well, yeah, that'd be fun. Let's look up and see if Dr. Carly is right, because I always believed that you were. And so I went into the archives and I asked if they had any documents about vaccinations and SSPE. And the amount of information, I had folders and folders and folders to look through. And it was like, well, now what do I do? So you're allowed to actually photocopy some of them and take them away. You're allowed to photograph them and take them away. And so I managed to get as many important documents that I found that were important, that I felt were important, relating to the SSPE and the measles vaccination. And the JCVI, which is the Joint Committee of Vaccination and Immunization, which is the body similar to your FDA, which sanctions vaccinations in this country and the UK.
Despite the fact that they have all this evidence that vaccines are causing such tremendous harm, which is criminal in itself, but of course this is what all these vaccine agencies do. Now, I'm sure some listeners are curious about this Q archive. Can you give an analogy as to what that is? Is there like a comparison here in the States for that?
I don't know of a comparison in the States. There possibly is. A lot of people go to the archives to look up family trees, look up military information. It's an archive that just archives documents, government documents and all kinds of things. And it's mostly family trees, actually, but they do have a lot on health, different aspects of health. You can go in and ask, you know, for papers on all kinds of things. Vaccinations are one area, but various different archives of different things that you want to go up and look up. You know, if you wanted to look up particular war, war heroes, that kind of thing, it's all locked in the archives. It's a very, very, very interesting place to go. And I've been up there 4 times now. The first time I went up with a very close friend who was absolutely destroyed, like yourself, Dr. Carly, because of how outspoken she was. And we went up to look up papers to help a mother that had been accused of shaken baby syndrome and killing her baby. Well, actually killing 2 of her babies.
Yes, and okay, that brings us to the way that you got involved in this, and I know that you won't mind me saying this because it's part of your biography that's on your papers. Christina actually has 2 sons that had been, what she realized, damaged by vaccines, that had some neurological issues, and she started looking for help for her sons. And as it turns out, the way that these monsters in the UK retaliate against parents is they diagnose them with a psychiatric illness called Munchausen syndrome, which, as far as I'm concerned, is a total fraud. If there's like 5 parents on the face of the earth that actually harm their children to get, you know, some kind of attention, I would say that's a high number. But they invented this alleged psychiatric condition as an excuse to go after any parent who claims that their child's problems were caused by vaccines. And in fact, in one of the most horrific cases that you've mentioned in one of your many articles, I have so many I can't remember where, but there was a mom whose daughter was so damaged she was in the hospital. I think she was actually in the ICU for 6 months. And the doctors actually claimed that she had convinced her daughter that she had been damaged by vaccines, and somehow, I don't know how, but she was able to fake conditions so serious that they had to, you know, basically put her on life support. Do you know what case I'm talking about?
Yes, I believe so. There's 2 cases, very, very similar. One case, which was one of the first cases that I came in with, was Ashley Cave. She is a child that was, she'd actually had a syndrome herself. There was something wrong with her. She had a lowered immune system. I can't remember her exact syndrome, but she had heart problems and various things. And she was vaccinated at school at the age of 12, as many young ladies do these days, with the Cervarix vaccine, or the Gardasil vaccine, which is your equivalent, Cervarix vaccine. And within 48 hours, she had signs of paralysis. Well, in 5 hours, actually, she'd passed out at school. She was sent home very ill. Within 48 hours, she was taken along to the hospital, which they did discharge her. However, within 5 days, she was totally paralyzed. They took her back to the hospital. She couldn't move. She was in hospital for 2 years, in and out of ICU, as you said. She had various problems. She remains with weak legs today. And she even was incontinent. And she was, I mean, I saw her, when I saw her in Liverpool, she was in a terrible state. And you could see she wasn't making it up. Her legs were totally paralyzed. She was in a wheelchair. And they accused her mother of making up, of help making her daughter believe that she was ill to get attention. And they blamed her with Munchausen syndrome by proxy. I think with her, with that particular syndrome, the actual word syndrome is a giveaway. Because syndrome is, as you know, a collection of you know, sort of symptoms that make up some kind of a pattern. And a pattern is a syndrome. So anything that they can't really put their finger on, they tend to call a syndrome these days. And Munchausen's syndrome by proxy, shaken baby syndrome, they're all much to muchness. The SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome, they don't know what's causing it. Well, rather they do. It's just a cover-up for vaccine damage, in my opinion.
Yes.
And it's a very good cover because all of them, these SIDS, very, very many children die of SIDS after vaccinations. We've proved that over and over. You've got Dr. Vera Schreibner proving it. You've got Dr. Michael Innes. You've got doctors all over the world, very, very famous doctors. You've got people like John Lloyd, Dr. John Lloyd, speaking out on biomechanics, proving that shaken baby syndrome, it doesn't exist. It would be very, very hard to shake a baby and not cause neck and back injuries. And these babies that are being diagnosed as having shaken baby syndrome very rarely have any other injury, just the triad.
Right. And if I could just let me get back to Munchausen's for a minute, because I just want to say that Christina was extremely fortunate that she found a professional, Lisa Blakemore Brown, who was actually putting two and two together back in the time when she was going through this. And Dr. Brown actually helped Christina, and she has paid a very high price, as have I, for speaking out, against the policies and propaganda of the, medical mafias and vaccine manufacturers for speaking the truth. And that is what people have to realize, is that I've been told many times, we need more doctors like you. Well, if you want more doctors like me, then people have to, stand together with those who are putting everything on the line and stand with us and say, we see what's going on. We're not going to take it anymore. And especially just say no. That's the most important word I'm trying to get out to people. But in your latest article, well, the main one that I wanted to cover on this show, you produced another miracle, and that is that you found an Australian police officer by the name of Chris Savage, and he's supposed to be on the show, but like I said, it's 6 a.m. tomorrow where he is, so I sent him a Skype message to call in if when his alarm clock wakes him up. But amazingly, this police officer, and everything I'm saying, he has actually documented himself. Of course, he's now an ex-police sergeant, so no surprise there. That, in fact, because of the fact that he had been, ordered to get the hepatitis B vaccine, and then he came down with certain symptoms that he realized had to be vaccine-induced, he has now come forward and talked about the fact that the police are basically instructed to not only avoid any discussion of vaccines when children are found dead, young children especially, usually before the age of two, but that they're instructed to interrogate the parents, especially to bring out the shaking word. If they can get a parent to say they shook their child, now think of the insanity of this. You find your child dead in bed. What's the first thing you're going to do? You're going to pick them up. You're going to shake them because you're going to hope to God that this child is just somehow, not breathing, and that you can stimulate them to breathe them by shaking. And this is so nefarious that the police have actually been instructed to try to get them to say the shaking word, because once they say the shaking word, all of a sudden they become a suspect in the child's death. So I'm going to let you take it away and tell the listeners about some of the amazing things that ex-police sergeant Savage has stated in regards to what his own profession is being instructed to do. And this is such wonderful information, and I am hoping that police officers all over the world will read this information and realize, uh-oh, I've been vaccine damaged myself. Uh-oh, my children have been vaccine damaged myself. Uh-oh, I am actually propagating a terrible crime against parents, because what could be worse than having your baby be found dead and then you're basically put in the hot seat as a suspect in the child's death? Take it away.
Yes, the article, I've just got it clicked up on now, is called Brainwashed Police Prosecute Parents to Protect Vaccines. And that is absolutely true. This is an interview that I did with Christopher Savage of the Queensland Police Service. What happened was, he started to contact me, actually through Facebook, asking me to contact him, and he said that he had information that would I'd be interested in, and he wanted to expose what was going on in the police force. So obviously very interested, I did get in touch with him. And his papers really confirm that the police are writing off cases of possible vaccine damage and sudden infant death syndrome. They also highlight the fact that due to bias and inadequate training, the police are falsely accusing of parents of manslaughter, I'm actually reading this a little bit, and shaken baby syndrome, and parents killing their own children because they've been brainwashed to search for signs of abuse, assault and foul play. And what he's actually saying in his interview, it began when he was first, he had the hepatitis B vaccination. Now, when you join the police, you have to have the hepatitis B vaccination as one of the sort of vaccinations, as the non-slaughter vaccinations, like the military, they receive the non-slaughter vaccinations when they join up.
Yes.
And Sergeant Savage actually explains that after receiving his Hep B, he became very exhausted and he spent the next two weeks in bed. And he was hardly able to move, he felt very ill. However, when he went to a mainstream medical professional and said, you know, all his symptoms and could it be down to the vaccine, they gave a resounding, no, it couldn't possibly be down to the vaccination, you know, you must have a bug, you must have a virus. But he never ever got over that, and he realised that that was definitely a reaction to the Hep B vaccine. And then he started to realise that he was being trained during his training, because at that point he was only a trainee. He was being trained that if anybody had a child, or anybody died at all, not just a child, in a household, people that were the last people to be with that person, whether it be a child or an adult, that was there, had to be interviewed. Now, with children, what they do, if a baby dies, they immediately go in, they take everything in that baby that was the last around the baby, like the cot, the mattress, the covers, little baby's toys, the scissors, anything that the baby has in the cot, away and bag it up for forensic evidence. And then they take the parent, they arrest the parent, questioning, and they take them down to the station and they question. They don't really as much as they question them, they actually interrogate them. I mean, I've got parents coming to me for help and saying that this has happened to them, and so many people have been coming to me, and I also know they've been coming to you now, Dr. Carly, as well.
Yes.
Saying that this is happening. What they do is they interrogate you. Now, what Chris Savage was saying to me was the fact that when they question, they try to make the person say that they shook the baby. And you've got to realise that these people are very, very stressed. They don't know what's happened to their baby. They're very frightened. They're very worried. Some of the babies have been rushed off and taken to hospital and have got various tests going on in the background. They want to be with their child, especially if it's a mother. The mother would want to be with the child if they've gone to hospital. If the child has died, they want to know why the child died. And all this time, they're being interrogated. You know, what happened? What did you do to the child? Did you do anything that could have made the child die? What happened? What was the last thing that you saw? And these parents are stressed. They're frightened. And many of them do say, well, I gently picked the baby up and I shook it slightly to see what was the matter with it, to see if it was okay and it was going to come to, and it didn't, and it wasn't breathing. And they say, oh, you shook the baby, did you? Oh, now that's interesting. Now, how hard did you shake the baby? Well, you know, have you ever shaken the baby before? Has your husband ever shaken the baby? And they go through such a length, and the mother gets frightened automatically, and they go on the defensive. And the more you fight for yourself, and I know this when I was accused of Munchausen, the more you fight for yourself and the more you deny it, the more you're accused, because they see it as a cover. Oh, yes, well, she would deny it, wouldn't she? It's murder, or she would deny it. And this is what happens in all of these cases. Whether the police are involved or not, I mean, in my case, it was social workers, and the police were invited, but they said they didn't want to come to the case because they felt that there was nothing in it, and they'd read all the paperwork, and they didn't feel it was serious enough. But there you go. I mean, so that was just a very small case. And when the cases are big, and they're like sudden infant death syndrome, or a case of possible shaking baby syndrome, then the police interrogate the parents.
Yes, and I also want to bring forth the fact that the time interval between vaccines and death is always ignored. As a matter of fact, if you didn't hear my show last week, where two mothers called in, the first mother, whose child got vaccinated and was dead within 12 hours, and when she woke up and realized, because the baby was in the bed with her, because she was breastfeeding the baby, she realized the child wasn't breathing. The child was still warm, was still pink. They called emergency services, and they didn't even try to resuscitate the baby. They took the child directly to the morgue, which in my opinion is totally outrageous. You know, had they tried to resuscitate the baby, who knows, maybe the baby would have come back. But in fact, this very short time interval, 12 hours since the last vaccine, was totally ignored. And the police are still trying to figure out if they're going to charge her with something because she was co-sleeping, as it's called, with her child, which so many mothers do, which she had been doing for 4 months without any problem until the child got vaccinated and then became dead. And, of course, what they try to insinuate in a case like that is the mother must have rolled over on top of the child and suffocated the child. I had another mother call in who had gone to a health clinic in Tulsa, whose child got the H1N1 in 2009, along with his sister. 34 children that got that same vaccine ended up what they called bacterial meningitis. 30 of those children are dead. One of her children actually recovered, but the other child, her little son, was in the hospital for 6 months. He ended up getting both legs, all of his fingers, and part of his nose amputated. And they refused to even consider the fact that the vaccine could have been involved, even though 30 children were dead. You know, basically they all say, well, the children must have all gotten bacterial meningitis. From what? I don't know. The children didn't know each other. They weren't chewing on the same toys or whatever. But this just goes to show the lengths that they will go to hide the vaccine-induced cause of death. And I don't know how much information you can give, but I know that now you're on the trail of actually finding out some information that coroners are not even allowed to mention if they know that the vaccine caused the death. Can you give out any information about that?
Yes, a parent contacted Namaste UK, where I work, and they were speaking to the person, my editor, and were saying that they have information proving that coroners are trained that if it's a vaccination death, if a child has died after a vaccination, they are actually forbidden to put it on the death certificate. So vaccination as a cause of death can never, ever be written on a death certificate.
Okay, I hear the music. We're going to a break. And during the break, I want you to think about that, people. The coroners are not allowed to admit the vaccine caused the death. How disgusting is that? We'll be right back after these messages. And we're back with Blood Sailing America, where our answer today is parents are being charged with death of their children who were actually killed by vaccines. And we have investigative journalist Christina England on the line that writes for many different journals that she elucidated earlier, but many of her most important articles, in my opinion, are on backtruth.com. And we're still waiting for the police officer from Australia to wake up and call in. But anyways, we'll get to him tomorrow on RBN if he's not able to join us today. But before the break, we were talking about the fact that she's now had a contact inform her that coroners are not allowed to, give vaccine-induced death as a cause of death on a death certificate. This is no surprise to me. In fact, another investigative journalist that I would like to put you in contact with, Christina, is a man in Jamaica by the name of Lloyd Aguilar. I do shows with him on a regular basis. And he is very hot on the trail in regards to a child that died right after his vaccines over a year ago in Jamaica. And the coroner still hasn't come up with a cause of death, which is just amazing to me. I mean, how long can you sit on this case? He's like, okay, I'm not allowed to give vaccines as a cause of death. It's the obvious cause of death, so what do I do? And another problem that we have is that a lot of times, you know, parents are advised if they get attorneys right away, well, you should get, you know, your own medical examiner to do a separate autopsy on the child. Of course, that costs thousands of dollars, which most of these parents don't have to begin with, not to mention the fact, are those medical examiners going to put their license on the line and tell the truth? I highly doubt it. So this is a very, very serious problem, and I can't think of anything worse than waking up and finding your baby dead after getting vaccinated, and then you're actually put under suspicion and possibly going to be charged with murder and go to jail for the rest of your life. And these people know what they're doing. I mean, there's no question that they know that deaths are caused by vaccines. Barry Scheibner, who Christina mentioned, is a researcher in Australia, and she's written an outstanding book on cot death, which is what they call sudden infant death syndrome in Australia. And she actually went into the research of cot death, not even suspecting vaccines, not even having a clue. But after her research was done, and after she saw the correlation of the vaccines and then the death, she published her own book, having no question whatsoever that the vaccines were behind it all.
Yes, that's right. There is something I did want to mention while we were speaking about the coroners. There was a case in England where a child died directly after vaccination, and he was put in the morgue. And the mother and father refused to bury the child and take him away from the morgue until the coroner agreed to put vaccinations as the cause of death. Now, that child remained in the morgue, and I can prove it with an article. I can give it to you at some point, Dr. Carley. The child stayed in that morgue for 22 years, and he would not allow him to be buried because they would not put it on the death certificate. And it ended up in a big court case, and they ended up having to bury the child because the court demanded the child was taken out of the morgue and that he was buried.
Wow.
And they never ever got that on the death certificate. I promise I will send that article to you.
22 years. I mean,
yeah. Little baby boy.
That is amazing. I mean, you got to give the parents credit for doing their best, but they weren't charged with the child's murder in that case, correct?
No, they weren't. They weren't. It was put down to natural causes, but that it wasn't natural causes. But they had to give in the end because they were actually, you know, demanded by the courts that they had to do that. They hadn't got a choice.
Well, let me just mention something about this quote-unquote natural causes thing. Since when is it natural for a baby to be just fine, doing everything, you know, fine, although maybe there's a few problems because the child's already gotten some vaccines, but basically the child looks healthy, everything's going according to plan, and then all of a sudden the child is found dead. And this is even more obvious because as the vaccine schedule increases, of course, the vaccine-induced diseases that I'm contacted about are escalating exponentially, and one of the most disgusting things that I'm encountering as of late is little babies having strokes and heart attacks. Now, how is that natural? You know, it's just amazing to me that anybody with two working brain cells would not ask themselves, how can this be? Babies don't have strokes.
Well, no, they never used to have strokes, and they've never used to have heart attacks, not unless they had a severe heart problem, which would have been picked up.
Right.
You can't have a perfectly healthy baby and then them have a vaccination and then them suddenly have a heart attack and say, oh, well, he must have had a heart problem, because that heart problem would have been picked up.
Well, not only that, but heart attacks are because the coronary arteries are obstructed, that are feeding the heart blood. And the kind of heart defects that babies have are defects in anatomy. An open foramen ovale, there's all kinds of different things. I won't give the medical names because it just gets confusing. But these cause heart murmurs, and yes, in fact, you know, the pediatrician is going to pick up the heart murmur when they're first examined. The strokes and heart attacks are caused by the fact that the antibodies made by this massive injection of viruses combine with the viruses and can actually occlude very small blood vessels in the brain, in the heart, in certain different areas of the body where there's no collateral circulation. So it's very obvious. It's getting more obvious all the time. I wish that more people would join with us and get on the bandwagon. Of course, in my opinion, one of the main problems is that so many of the supposed anti-vaccine groups, all they talk about is mercury. You know, they ignore all the rest of it. They ignore the corruption of the immune system. This baby that I was talking about, who had to have his legs and fingers and nose amputated, that the mom called in last week, he had a temperature of 108 degrees. I have never even heard of a temperature that high. That's basically frying his brain. And that's not from mercury. That's from the viruses that they're injecting. So, you know, all parts of the vaccines are bad. But I wish that more people would concentrate on the virus aspect, because, of course, that's the excuse they're using to give the vaccine in the first place, that injecting the virus is going to protect you by making antibodies. And, of course, that's a bold-faced lie.
It's a fallacy. I mean, it's just so stupid. And these babies, I mean, I wrote an article not so long ago about a little girl who was a premature twin. There was two of them, two little girls. And she had 9 vaccinations in one day at 8 weeks old. But, of course, she was premature, so obviously she was younger than 8 weeks in real terms. And I think she was born about 25 weeks. So we're looking at probably about minus 7 weeks. And when she was vaccinated with the onslaught of 9 vaccinations. Now, her sister was a bit poorly, but she survived. However, little Stacy died. And it was an awful, awful case. The parents were so outraged, they actually did a protest outside the Ministry of State of Health. They did a protest and they put 9 little white coffins in a row with babies' pictures and babies' names and who they were on the coffin and said, rest in peace, whatever the names were. And I have pictures of those coffins outside the Ministry of State Ministry of Health. It was in Belgium.
Yes, this is happening all over the world. And to make matters worse, your outstanding article published on October 25th, 2012, in AmericanChronicle.com, entitled The AMA Proposed New Law to Force Everyone to Take Part in Experimental Vaccine Trials, this brings things up to another level, which is beyond evil, where this corrupt trade organization that works for Big Pharma is actually promoting that unless parents know they have an opt-out, that they have to actually allow their children to be used in experiments with new vaccines. And I had found out recently that because of pressure by various animal rights organizations, these different, you know, NIH and all these experimenters, they've decided not to use chimpanzees because people get outraged when they use chimpanzees for research because, of course, it's very cruel and totally unethical and immoral. So apparently now that they can't use chimpanzees, they're going to use babies instead. And for a supposed representative of the medical doctors to promote this, this is beyond comprehension. Okay, I hear the music. We're going to break the mid-show break, Christina. Just a few minutes. If you need to get a drink of water, whatever. We'll be back for the second hour after these messages. Stay tuned, folks. Okay. And we're back with What's Ailing America, second hour, with my special guest, Christina England, research journalist from the UK. We have a few more things to go over, but I want to also encourage any of you that would like to call in to please do so, especially if you have any personal testimonials as to what your white coats have done to your children, totally ignored, et cetera, et cetera. Once again, the call-in number toll-free is 888-320-6151, or you can call in at 716-213-6816. And this is going to be a very important archive, which will be posted on the lightofdayradioshow.com under Dr. Carly Archives for you to refer people to, anybody listening that has any question about what's going on, because this last article that, well, it's not her last article, but the last article that she wrote that I just mentioned in the AmericanChronicle.com, the AMA proposed new law to force everyone to take part in experimental vaccine trials. It is so outrageous what they admit in their own documents. For example, on page 2, society is unlikely to accept compulsory recruitment to a trial for a vaccine against the common cold if the vaccine causes severe complications in vaccinees. Increase the severity of the disease in question, however, and compulsory recruitment becomes a more palatable option. So they're basically admitting there that they're going to tweak the virus and they're going to cause it to become more severe, and then people may be more likely to submit to an experimental vaccine trial where they're going to inject you directly into your bloodstream with that virus. And coincidentally, today, I think it's going to be on all weekend, on the Science Channel here in the States, they're having repeats of this show Fringe, which basically talks about fringe science, which is basically a documentary of what these monsters are up to. And just a couple of hours ago, they had a show about a scientist that tweaked the common cold and made it actually, once you inhaled it or ingested it, develop into like this fluke-like organism that actually crawls out of your mouth. So these are the kinds of things these mad scientists are doing. But to admit that they're going to tweak the virus to make the severe complications of the actual infection more obvious so that parents will sign up, you know, they're admitting that they're committing crimes against humanity, violations of the Nuremberg Code, et cetera, et cetera. And then let me just mention one more. On page 3, and I was aware of this for some time, in 2008, the Telegraph reported that 3 Polish doctors and 6 nurses were facing criminal prosecution after a number of homeless people died following medical trials for a vaccine against, I always say it's not a vaccine against, it's inoculation with the H5N1 bird flu virus. Isn't that amazing that in Poland they would put these doctors and nurses on trial for criminal prosecution for what they've done, ending up in all these dead people? But every place else, it seems like they're just covering it up. I don't understand what's going on in Poland. I mean, these people apparently have a conscience.
I think they do. That article actually was on backtruth.com. For anybody that actually wanted to look for that article on the AMA. I mean, it was terrible what the AMA were saying. I mean, as if you wanted to have be included, especially your child be included, in a vaccine experiment especially if it was something that was known to be possibly fatal. That's what they were saying. Well, the more dangerous the vaccine, the more likely it is that people will go and sign these forms to say, you know, it's okay, they'd let them go ahead with the vaccinations and that. Because it's a rather stupid thing to say, really. I mean, it stands to reason that who wants to their child be put in an experiment with a vaccine that is very, very dangerous?
Well, there's all kinds of crazy things going on here in the States. Big Pharma uses children as experimental guinea pigs all the time, especially in foster care, where many of them are put on all kinds of psychotropic drugs, and especially in poor communities, where they'll actually offer, you know, a poor family, oh, you can get an iPad and a this or a that if you allow your child to be exposed to pesticides or whatever. There's been all kinds of crazy things happen, and I remember a few years ago, there was a dad in New York State who was infected with HIV, which was also created by the government, but that's an aside, and he decided he didn't want to pay child support anymore, so he took a vial of his own blood and he injected his own child with HIV. And my response to that was, he just vaccinated him. What's the problem? You know, I'm being very sarcastic, of course. But, you know, what's the difference? You know, you have a biological agent, you inject it into somebody. Even when they start talking about the fact that vaccines are allegedly contaminated, like we had the situation here in the States recently where a compounding pharmacy was making steroids that had fungus in it, and these injections were being given to people in their spine to supposedly help their back pain, and over 30 of them have died. Well, that should be considered a vaccine. That should be considered a vaccine against fungus. How come when it's like not intentional, you know, when it's something that got into the concoction, allegedly by, you know, mistake, then it's considered a contamination when, you know, they're actually doing this, putting all these germs in bottles and adding, you know, aspartame and all kinds of other things, mercury, you name it, aluminum, all these different other harmful things, and that's considered a good thing. That's one thing I try to bring home to people is that is insane. If this is a bad bug, be it virus, bacteria, whatever, and you are supposed to be protected from it, then the last thing you should be doing is injecting it into your bloodstream. Let your cousin sneeze on you. You know, let your natural immunity kick in, which occurs when things get into your body through your mouth or through your nose. That's how the immune system is supposed to work. And, of course, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, there's this wonderful product called colloidal silver that kills every bug it's ever been tested against, including HIV, with no side effects with the way it's being made now. And, of course, the medical mafia has been covering that up. I did research and found that it used to be in the physician's desk reference. They took it out in the 1980s. Because they don't want people to know that there's a substance like that with no side effects that kills all these germs with no problem whatsoever, and you don't have to inject it into your bloodstream.
Yes, actually, on the last article I wrote one that was published today. It was about the flu vaccine, the vaccinations being given to pregnant women, apparently in the 2009-2010, the NACO, which is National Coalition for the Organized Women, they proved with documents that the rate of stillbirth and miscarriages that were being reported to the VIRS website rose by 4,250% when they added the H1N1 vaccination to the flu vaccination and were giving the combined vaccinations for flu to pregnant women. She came in, Dr. Carly, and actually mentioned that, did I know about your colloidal silver? And I said yes. And they asked me if I promoted tonight's show. and they said to me, had I used it on my own boys? And I explained that I had not, and they said, did I think it was a good idea? And I actually said yes, and I'd heard that parents have used your methods and their children have recovered from autism.
Yes, well, little silver is just one thing. As I said, it doesn't cure for viruses that have been injected into you and gotten into your very genetic structure. But you see, the reason that I talk about little silver is because I've been using it for 15 years. My three dogs and my two cats all take it. I just explained at the beginning of the show how I sliced off half my finger, and within basically 10 days, the silver in the gel form had actually caused complete healing to occur, which is very dramatic. But there's so many natural things that are available out there for people, and I just tell people, check it out for yourself. You must do your own research, because all of these things are being hidden from people. But I just want to comment on the article that you just mentioned. The only problem I have with that article is that these individuals that you're quoting, especially Ms. Daneman from the NCOP,
please, you deserve the right.
And we're back with What's Ailing America and the World, where our answer today is parents are being charged with death of children killed by vaccinations, with my special guest, UK investigative journalist Christina England. We're still trying to get Police Officer Savage on the line. And I just want to make one other statement about colloidal silver. I encourage all of you, like I said, go to the link section of reversingvaccineinducediseases.com. Check out that colloidal silver generator. It's important for you to have your own so that you can make it for yourself for the rest of your life for pennies a batch, because the agencies are trying to take it off the market. Here in the States, they've already labeled it a pesticide because it will put all the antibiotic and antiviral makers by Big Pharma out of business. And I know you had said that you were a little under the weather, Christina. I wish you would just try this stuff. It is so amazing. You know, I don't talk about things unless they work. But getting back to this latest article that you wrote for VacTruth, I just want to state that my only criticism, as I said, is that they're blaming the mercury. Once again, it's all about the mercury. The regular flu vaccine has mercury. So adding an H1N1 vaccine with mercury, I don't see any way that that could massively increase the deaths. And the only thing I would say is that I would like any of these people that you mentioned in this article to explain the mechanism by which mercury causes fetal death. Because fetuses are exposed to mercury when their mothers eat tuna fish, when their mothers have mercury fillings, when their mothers drop those squeaky light bulbs on the floor, et cetera, et cetera. In my opinion, it's all about the viruses. But, in fact, the most important thing in this article is, once again, your documentation of the corruption and fraud, and how the CDC and AJOG, whatever the heck that is, there's so many acronyms you can't keep them straight, but they're all participating in the cover-up. In fact, one of the most important articles I've ever seen, which I'm sure I sent you some time ago, you can access it on the internet, comes out of Australia. It's titled A Dragon by the Tail. And if you check out that article, that's the most amazing documentation of all of these agencies. That what they do is they invent other nonprofits, such as Bill Gates' group and all the rest of them, and then they refer to each other. They basically support each other, and they use each other as an excuse to say, well, such and such is true because so-and-so says it. But, in fact, they're all involved in this massive corruption and fraud. And in this article, you mentioned the March of Dimes. And I just want to mention that the March of Dimes, as far as I can recollect, I don't remember if you mentioned it in here, but they were one of the big players involved in trying to promote polio vaccines when polio vaccines first came out. And, of course, polio vaccines cause polio. And, in fact, the oral polio vaccine was taken off the market finally because it was admitted by whatever agency that the only way to actually get polio in this country was from the polio vaccine. The oral polio vaccine. But they didn't destroy the oral polio vaccine. They sent it to third world countries where they're now using missionaries and, you know, other people within the culture to push this out on the people. Go ahead.
Yes, the third world countries are getting a lot of the vaccinations that are being banned in other countries. For example, the vaccine, the MMR, that was actually the Plusarex vaccine that was banned in this country. It was banned, it was 14 in 1988, even though it was a banned vaccine in Canada at the time. They changed the name, they repackaged it like various other vaccines. They'd always repackage, make a new name and represent it as something else. They did this to the Plusarex. They brought it into our country in 1988. It was then banned in 1992. What they did, though, was they kept the UK licence. Now, by keeping the UK licence, it gives a green light for any other country to buy it as a safe vaccine. So the third world bought it, and it's now all over there. They've got they're actually giving the same to all the children in the third world. And it's companies like UNICEF, Save the Children, all these companies that are asking for money from us all the time, all these adverts saying they're going to save the children, they're doing this, they're doing that. Most of our money is going to vaccines. And I won't promote any of those companies. They're not helping.
They're killing people. As a matter of fact, it's self-evident what they're doing. I mean, especially in the third world, these people are so poor. I saw a special, I forget what country it was about. The people are eating dirt cakes. They have no food.
Now,
just imagine if you have no nutrition and you're being barraged by vaccines. I mean, it's such an obvious genocide. You can't make this stuff up.
No, this is right. And when you see the main players, the players that are calling parents like me, Munchausen's by proxy, who would do absolutely anything for their boys, and I've done the absolute best I can, they're using it as a cover, and these people are Professor Roy Meadows and David Southall. Now, David Southall has been working in the third world, and he was, at the same time as Professor Meadow was sitting on the vaccine committees, and then accusing people in court and telling juries, like the one that was in the Sally Clark case, whose child died 5 hours after vaccination, that the vaccinations couldn't have anything to do with it. And then he's sitting at the same time in meetings and talking about cot deaths and vaccinations and trying to cover it up. And all it was the government brought him in because he had the ideal cover, which was blame the parents. And the Munchausen's by proxy, which he came up with, it was his little baby, he came up with Munchausen's by proxy syndrome. And, of course, now this is being used worldwide. But he was sitting in vaccination meetings. And he was brought in by the government. His first paper, which was actually The Hinterlands of Child Abuse, which was 1977. That paper was brought in, introduced Munchausen's by proxy. The whole thing was made up of fraudulent research. If you look into the paper and you read it carefully, it was all surrounding a child with the salt death who died of salt poisoning, or so he said. He had too much sodium in the blood, and he was a very sickly child. And what did they do to prove that the mother was still feeding the child with salt? They actually fed him with salt, 20 grams of salt, to prove how difficult it was to feed a child with salt and how the child must have suffered. And consequently, not so long after, the child died. Now, this is in his research. It's actually shown that they stated this in their actually summing up of what happened, and they blame the mother, Munchausen's by proxy. They didn't even look at diabetes insipidus, which was very possible, and he knew that papers existed on diabetes insipidus at the time, because those papers have been out since 1926, the first paper that I found, and there was listed papers, so he knew about that. And yet there was no record, there was nothing about the diabetes insipidus in the whole of the paper. And that is too much salt in the blood. It is also an inherited disease, and they found too much sodium in the mother's breast milk. That stands to reason that there must have been something else, but his paper was fraudulent, and yet that paper is being used worldwide as the Munchausen syndrome by proxy paper.
Well, that's why the work that you're doing is so important. These psychopaths have to be exposed. I mean, to even conceive of a quote-unquote doctor, you know, the people that take the Hippocratic Oath, that are going to be, you know, going into business with big pharma and especially the vaccine manufacturers and knowingly participating in the deaths of untold numbers of children, and especially the blaming of the parents when something terrible happens. You know, that's an evil that most people can't even conceive of. And, you know, they've been doing vaccines for a long time. I wouldn't be surprised if it's obviously a case of diabetes insipidus, because it's not actually that they're retaining salt, it's that they're losing too much water. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if, in fact, that was caused by vaccines even way back then, because one thing that I've learned in regards to homeopathy, there's very few actually genetic diseases, although they're creating them now with their biotech, such as the breast cancer caused by BRCA1 and BRCA2. Those are created by viruses. I have, you know, the Special Virus Cancer Program documents to prove it. But most diseases are not genetic to begin with. They're actually caused by corruption of the immune system or the DNA by vaccines. I had sent you that article, DNA Vaccines, from Scientific American 1999. That is so critical for anyone to access, because they actually show how shooting plasmids of DNA into genes will alter their genetic structure. But in fact, what they obviously did in that case, just like they always do, is to divert blame from the actual cause of the problem. Because in homeopathy, they talk of something called a miasm. A miasm is basically a weak link in your DNA, in your constitution, your immune system, whatever. It would never be manifested if they would leave their poisons out of us. But when you're vaccinated, when you're exposed to pesticides, the list is endless, then eventually there's going to be a problem. And that's the real cause of all these diseases. But you see, Big Pharma is not going to make money by, you know, getting rid of pesticides and all the things that actually cause disease. They pretend that they're trying to get cures, which, of course, nothing they ever do cures anything. But I just want to also mention, because the time goes so quickly, I wrote my last newsletter, and if you want to sign up for my newsletters, folks, go to, once again, reversingvaccineinducediseases.com. The bottom of the link section, I write a weekly newsletter for the American Survival Newsletter Group, and I wrote quite a lengthy article entitled Never-Ending Cover-Up of Vaccine-Induced Injuries and Deaths. And in this article, I talk about the fact that I've been calling vaccines weapons of mass destruction for many years. I actually came across the legal definition of weapons of mass destruction, which you can find at the top of drcarly.com. And it actually says that weapons of mass destruction include any weapon, device, or method that is designed or has the capability to cause death or serious injury through the release, dissemination, or impact of a diseased organism. So obviously, that would include vaccines. Then I state in the book Lab 257, The Disturbing Story of the Government Secret Plum Island Laboratory by Michael Christopher Carroll. In Chapter 14, The Homeland, he documents that a Dr. David Huxall, who was appointed Plum Island Director in 2000, and of course Plum Island is the main focus of the book. Plum Island is a place they're creating viruses. It's where the Lyme disease came from, etc. But this Dr. David Huxall actually stated the plant that would produce biological agents for weapons purposes may not look much different from the plant that produces biological agents for vaccine purposes. Hello? I mean, he's basically saying it's the same deal. We have these bioweapons labs. We have, you know, one door you go in and you say you're making weapons of mass destruction. The other door you say you're making vaccines. It's all the same thing. But then I linked to another amazing article that you wrote on VacTruth, Bill Gates funding drone vaccines, because Dr. David Huxley had stated that you can disseminate a bioweapon in an aerosol. So what did you find? But that Bill Gates is actually funding drone vaccines. Now just think about that, people. Bill Gates, who's also trying to make malaria syringes, and those are mosquitoes he's putting malaria in, and isn't it funny how when Bill Gates puts malaria in a mosquito, it's a good mosquito because it's giving you a vaccine. But if you have just regular malaria in a regular mosquito that was out there in nature, whatever, then that's the bad mosquito. But now he's funding drone vaccines. Now, these are bioweapons delivery systems. He's going to be spraying them on third world countries and calling it a vaccine. How can this be, Christina? This sounds insane.
It does sound insane, but it is happening. I just like to admit, I didn't write that article. Jennifer Hutchinson did. It was on VacTruth. I did read the article. It was an excellent article. I can't understand it either, but it's basically another form. It's like a pesticide from what I could make of it. It's like a pesticide, and they're just calling it a vaccine, and they're just spraying all these bioweapons all over us. And that's perfectly okay because it's a vaccine.
Right. Well, that just goes to show all you have to do is call it a vaccine, and then you can spray bioweapons. I had also come across, and I have so many documents in front of me, but I don't have this one. The Wistar Institute has been granted a $500,000 grant by the NIH to create aerosolized, weaponized rabies. And they're calling it a vaccine, too. Now, just in the news today, there were two young girls that had been bitten by raccoons that supposedly had rabies. Whenever I see something like that, I'm saying, okay, how did the raccoons get rabies? Oh, I guess one of Bill Gates' drones must have flown over them and sprayed them with this aerosolized, weaponized rabies vaccine, which that's what they're calling it. Which all they have to do is breathe in. They don't even have to be bitten with this monstrous concoction. So, yeah, it's just mind-boggling. It really is.
Yes, it is. I mean, there's got so many ways of vaccinating now. I mean, not so long ago I wrote about flu vaccines are going to be delivered in the post, and these are going to be little tiny patches that we put on ourselves, anybody that's mad enough to put one on themselves, and it has tens of thousands of little tiny needles within this patch, and that was going to give us the flu vaccine. And we were going to receive that through the post by our postman.
Right.
The exciting delivery for us all, wasn't it?
Right. And you see, I just keep bringing this up because what I want people to ask themselves is why would you do any of these insane vaccination procedures when all you need to do is take your child to Cousin Johnny's house. If he's got the flu, let them play together. Your child will be coughed and sneezed upon. They will get the flu naturally. How can it possibly be worse to be sneezed on than to be injected directly into your bloodstream to get one of these patches that Christina's talking about? To have a Bill Gates drone fly over you with a massive exposure, I don't understand how come people don't get it. That's what I'm trying to figure out. Now, when I was in medical school, I bought into the propaganda, but, you know, medical school involves sleep deprivation, nutritional deprivation. We're just basically, you know, getting 4 hours of sleep a night, memorizing crap, spitting it out on exams, going to the next subject. We don't have time to think. And it took me 5 years to catch up on my sleep before my brain really started working again. In fact, I didn't even dream for 5 years because of that sleep deprivation. That is massive. And, of course, that's a technique they use for the military as well. But once I got my common sense back and logic, and I started thinking about this, especially after my only child was brain damaged from vaccines, I asked myself, how did you buy into this crap? How could you possibly have believed what they were saying, that if a virus is bad, you need to protect yourself by injecting it directly into your bloodstream along with all the other crap that's in there, the witch's brew. I mean, I'm ashamed of myself that I bought into it. But now that I know the truth, you know, it's my mission in life to share what I know with others to prevent them from having to go through what we've gone through. Because I do have a protocol to reverse vaccine damage, but I'd much rather prevent it from happening in the first place.
What I would like to say to listeners is, if somebody gave you a glass, and in the glass was the flu virus, mercury, aluminium, formaldehyde, a few kidney, dog kidney cells, and all the things that they put into these vaccinations, and asked you to drink it, would you drink it? And the answer to that would be, well, no, of course I wouldn't. Oh, but you're vaccinating your children with it. That's fine, is it?
Yeah, it's like a mystical, magical thing that all of a sudden, by putting all this witch's brew into a bottle and sticking a label on it and having a rubber stopper on it made out of latex, which, by the way, just even putting a needle through that latex can cause your child to get a latex allergy on top of everything else when it's injected into your child. How does that magic happen? It's a mystical thing.
Yes, at the moment, the latest thing is that you, instead of buying Marks and Spencer's vouchers and Thornton's vouchers and all these vouchers we buy people for Christmas, you can now buy the flu vaccine vouchers. So now you can get the flu vouchers to gift all your friends for Christmas.
Yeah, it's happening here too. Every pharmacy you go to, you know, they've got like a little sign at the front of the store. You know, it's in some form of a card here or something where you can, you know, buy this little card, give it to your loved one, and they can get a flu vaccine with it.
And then they get the flu.
Of course, in addition to all the autoimmune diseases, et cetera, that happen after the immune system is covered. Okay, we're running out of time so fast, but one other thing I wanted to mention that I included in my last newsletter is I wrote, the holidays are upon us. This week, families will be gathering to celebrate Thanksgiving. And I suggested that people take this opportunity to open up some minds and, you know, share some of this information. And I suggested people go to the website Meriel.ca. It's Meriel.ca. This is the website for a vaccine producer in Canada that makes vaccinations for our food source animals. And I inform people that if you would like to learn what vaccines your turkey received, go to that website, click on the poultry section, and then I let them know that I would pass on the wings because that's where the live viruses are injected. In fact, one of the viruses they're injecting into turkeys is live herpes.
Ooh.
Isn't that delicious?
Yes, lovely. Lovely for Christmas dinner.
It's just amazing.
There's so much research that's out there. If people would only look at it and research it, they would be horrified to what they're doing to their children and what we're doing to each other and what we're doing to ourselves. It's just horrendous. When you think of how many vaccinations, well, certainly I've had vaccinations in the past, and it's hardly surprising that I've got so many different things wrong with me. I've got many food allergies. I've got asthma. I've got epilepsy. And I've got eczema. I mean, my eczema is so severe. And I swear it's the vaccinations, because I never had eczema until I had the flu vaccination. And that was before I got really wise. And now I wouldn't have any vaccination ever. And, but I'm still suffering from eczema, regardless.
Well, hold on. I think I hear the music. Yes, I hear the music. Okay, we're going to the last segment. And hopefully someday we'll do a protocol for you and show you how you can get rid of those things. But in fact, what I tell people is, before you have your child, pregnant moms out there, how many hours, weeks, months are you spending getting the nursery ready? Do some research on vaccines. Your child doesn't care how many. And we're back with the last segment of What's Ailing America, where our answer today has been parents are being charged with deaths of children killed by vaccines, with my special guest, Christina England, from the UK. I strongly suggest you check out her articles on the website she mentioned, especially avactruth.com. You can just click on her name and get access to a lot of the different articles that she's written. In my opinion, she's the primo vaccine researcher on the planet at this point.
Now,
of course, I love it that her research backs up pretty much everything that I say, which is very wonderful, because I've been shouting this stuff from the rooftops for so many years, and it's been very difficult to get any kind of help along these lines, because all of the different autism groups especially are just talking about mercury, which is a total distraction. But as I said before the break, parents need to do research. I always tell people, don't believe me, check it out for yourself. Christina has so much documentation, it could just fill a warehouse, basically, and she gives all her references in her articles. And as I said, don't worry about getting the nursery ready, because guess what? There may be no baby to put in the nursery if you don't do research on vaccines. That crib may be empty. And how tragic would that be? But I just want to mention another thing, Christina, that you had sent me, which I found so disgusting as to not have words to say it. And this was a letter dated September 15th, 2010, sent out by... Who sent this out? I think it was the American Academy of Family Physicians, basically promoting influenza vaccines to be given to pregnant women in any trimester. And they got 10 different groups, including the March of Dimes, to sign it. But the most disgusting group that signed it was the American College of Nurse Midwives. Now, what's up with that? I mean, midwives, in most cases, are more natural in scope. That's the whole point of having a midwife. If you can have the child at home and, you know, do things naturally, etc. Maybe it's because they're nurse midwives, but I found that especially disgusting. That they just get all these minions. You know, they're just paid supporters of these groups. They'll do anything for cash. And we're supposed to believe that because all these different groups signed the letter, that this is a good thing. And they sent this letter out to, you know, obstetricians, pediatricians, anybody they could think of to try to, convince pregnant women to get the seasonal influenza vaccine, even though, as you already reported, that the adverse effects of the 2009 vaccine were off the charts. It's just amazing.
Yes, it was. Actually, the letter was from the March of Dimes, but the 10 different groups signed it. It was presented as part of the research by Dr. Morrow, which he presented it in such a way to the CDC, for the CDC. He presented it in such a way that it sort of showed the ten different organisations that had signed it, and it was they covered it. The way he did it was not including the 2009-2010 results, and that was the problem, because he didn't cover it, and it didn't include it. He got away with it, because he was saying that there was only 23 miscarriages, and that was a minimal amount of miscarriages that had been reported. However, if he'd have put the 2009-2010, which included the H1N1 vaccine, within it, then the report had gone up by that time, in that time frame, up onto the VIA's reporting system, by 4,250%, and that was what my article was about. And Dr. Gary Goldman and Dr. Paul King, their paper also confirmed what Narco was saying. And that was what it was all about. It was about the corruption of the CDC and how they covered it all and made sure that the wrong information was getting out there. And when, I can't say the guy's name, but one of the doctors presented to the for the CDC, and he presented a talk about the adverse reactions to the H1N1. He was stating the wrong statistic, and somebody stood up. He actually said that he didn't mention anything about pregnant women. He didn't mention that at all in his talk. He was going around it, and he was, the main thing he was going on about was that Guillain-Barre syndrome had gone up by 3%, and that was really the most terrible thing that had happened within this. And somebody from the audience piped up and said, well, have you got any slides or any data confirming any pregnant women, what happened to the pregnant women? And he sort of went into his bag and he came up with a slide that actually confirmed what they were saying, that the percentages had gone up by the on the fears report of stillbirth and miscarriages of 4,250%, and it confirmed what Narco was saying. And yet he wasn't going to present this. Chris Savage has just come online.
Okay, well, it's too late to bring him on now. We only have like a few minutes left. We're going to continue this conversation on my show tomorrow on RBN from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern time. We have a different audience there, and we have lots more information to talk about, especially with his story, so we'll continue that tomorrow. But I also just want to mention what Christina has now said. This just shows the corruption and fraud. I mean, this man, in my opinion, he should have been lynched as he left the building. It's hard to pronounce his last name, Shikamura, something like that. For him to even admit that, oh, yeah, I got the stuff. I got it here. I forgot to mention it. You know, it's just amazing. This is corruption. This is showing his conflict of interest. This is showing how fraudulent science is. In fact, I always say that the way science is going now, being totally controlled by Big Pharma, you shouldn't listen to any of it because they cover up everything. They have statistics and ways to, you know, remove the truth from their various different experiments and research trials and all the rest that they do. But I also just want to mention quickly a very important document entitled The Law, and this is found in the CDC's own vaccine information statement that I have published on my vaccineinduceddiseases.com site. It's publication 996194 from May 4, 2000. But in fact, in this document entitled The Law, it's in regards to reporting adverse events, and they talk about vaccine-related disabilities, injuries, and conditions where deaths occur. Now, I've been trying for 12 years now to get a list of these vaccine-related illnesses, disabilities, and conditions where deaths occur. Of course, I don't get any answer to my request from the CDC. So the point is that they know. And as Christina has uncovered, we have documents talking about, especially the subacute sclerosing panencephalitis. But, you know, if you could really get down into the basement, Christina, with a whole group of researchers, I imagine you would probably need like a U-Haul truck to get out all the stuff that's actually down there in regards to this stuff, which is, you know, unfortunately you have to know what you're looking for in order to ask for it. And how can you possibly know what you're looking for when it's all being covered up? You almost have to guess, you know.
A lot of the files have, they're closed for another 75 years. In other words, they're closed until we're dead and gone. So it'll be for the next generation to find out, or the generation after that. They're closing the files. They're not allowing us to open them. We can only open the file. We can only look at the files they allow us to open. There are certain files that are closed, and we can't open them. I've tried opening them, especially ones on deaths of children, sudden infant death syndrome after the DPT. Those files are very, very tightly closed. You can only get open a couple of them. And you have to wonder why they're closed.
No, you don't. It's to, prote- It's to protect the guilty.
Exactly.
The same thing happens in this country in regards to the presidential libraries. Can't get access to any of the files until, you know, 50, like for President Kennedy, but it's true for all the presidents, they remain sealed for 50 years. So by the time they're unsealed, all the people involved in criminal activity are already dead, so you can't charge them with any crimes.
That's it. Like, it's to cover their own back all the time. It's to cover themselves. And you can't get it even open on freedom of information. We've tried. I've tried it. They are, oh, well, don't worry. Put in a freedom of information if you want that file open, Miss England. And I put in a freedom of information, and of course the file won't be open. Oh, I'm sorry, we've been denied access. Like hell, they've been denied access. They can get to it any time they like.
Right.
But we can't, the public.
Right. So in other words, come back in 50 years, you'll probably be in a walker if you're even still breathing at that point, and we'll be sure to open them right up for you. Okay, we're almost out of time, but I want to bring up one other amazing document that you sent me, and this is a dailymail.co.uk/news article entitled Gov. More children should be taken into care to stop them suffering a loss of soiled nappies, scummy baths, chaos, and hunger.